VFP.org. It's the Smedley Butler Brigade of Veterans for Peace. SMEDLEYVFP.org. And there you have it. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. And Music for Human Beings will be up in a few minutes. We'll go out with a little bit of music that isn't this particular music, but will be another music. And then we'll be on our way. Thanks for joining us on What's Left. Again, the email address is anarchy@wmbr.org if you have comments, questions, suggestions, requests for next week, or what have you. Thank you for joining us.
You don't remember me like I remember you. Was not so long ago you broke my heart in two. There's on my pillow. On my pillow, in my heart, caused by you.
Marhaban. Marhaban fi Music for Human. I am a doctor, Jalas al-Sakran, and I welcome you. I am here once again, extending my spirit towards you with spirit. And across from me sits Aurora, vocal specialist. Welcome, Aurora.
And welcome to you and to all those who are listening to us now and joining us in our spectral circle.
The spectral circle is swelling.
It swells slightly. But still, our souls simmer so sadly.
They do simmer sadly. It is as though the swelling of the circle is from a puncture. Perhaps they have been punctured.
Yes, perhaps. A spectral spider.
The bite of the spectral spider, would that cause swelling?
It would cause spiritual swelling.
I mean,
and lesions.
My specialty, of course, is regarding the skin, but the dermis would be damaged by the bite of a spider, but it would not always cause swelling. It can also cause a crater,
which I believe would be somewhat more disastrous and irreversible.
It really depends on how much you like more or less skin.
And have you had many, many people coming to you asking for your guidance with their crater-filled dermises?
And the swelling of the circle is generally considered positive. So those who would like to join us and to swell our circle may call in at any time during the program. The number to do so is 617-253-8810. Caller?
Hello.
Welcome, caller.
Please speak, I cannot hear you.
Caller, welcome to the air. Can you hear me?
Please, more volume. My ears long for it.
Oftentimes, we see people whose ears yearn for volume, who seem to feel an oral emptiness.
Yes, well, that is what I mean.
Well, caller, also, we yearn to not hear our own volume. So, if you would like, please, to step away from the radio.
There is a fire. There is a fire where they gather and make the lotions from the excrement and secretions of their sacred womb, and this will cure the swelling.
I believe the caller is referring to these spiritual spiders who indeed do tend to meet in groups and gather around fires.
A caller, please, once again, step away from the radio, because I'm not sure that I am hearing the message properly. It seems you have mentioned the existence of an excrement lotion making fire.
It is the burning sensation. This is what we need the lotion for.
the burning.
Caller, you mentioned that this is not excrement in its normal form, but merely excrement from a womb, which I believe is children.
It could be. And like the jiggling, the folds jiggling as the man runs from his mother. These waves we see across his burdened, hairy blubber. We can only feel as one.
I'd like to bring the discussion back to the swelling, if I may. So you refer to the lotion to cure a swelling.
Ah, yes, the lotion.
In my experience, lotion really is good for moisturizing or adding suppleness to an already cracked spirit.
Ah, yes.
But in this case, this could be a non-conventional use of the word lotion as a topical cream.
So just any medicinal ointment you would refer as a lotion.
Well, you must remember we're referring to spirit lotions.
Some
cream which is applied to one's spirituality, which will enrich it and allow it to absorb nutrients.
So a non-tangible cream.
Exactly.
The cream meaning to heal a rift or a fragility to the spirit.
It makes me tremble just thinking of this.
So, caller,
in fear or in excitement?
A little bit of both.
And caller, what sort of spirit cream are you accustomed to using there?
Well, normally, late at night when the glow of the television sharpens my mind, I purchase it, for three easy payments of part of my soul, my sadness, and my greatest joy. And they ship it to me. It's really, really quite easy.
That doesn't sound like easy payments, caller.
And it also does not sound like a non-tangible. It sounds like or is it spirit shipment?
Alas, it is no more the forest from which I came, but the prison that I now inhabit.
I believe that is true for so many of us.
I don't understand anything.
I believe that is true for most of us as well.
No, the caller is speaking of the wood prison. You are imprisoned in your own wood. And the result is... Caller?
I'm sorry. The meaning has stricken me speechless.
I believe the caller is having an extremely spiritual experience which does not allow him to communicate properly in what we would call the proper way, but what we are hearing is certainly a joyful and an enlightening experience.
I think the caller has been rendered without speech. But caller, perhaps you would care to explain again the relation of the lotion to the wood. And before you spoke of the lotion generated from the excrement and a fire. So how was the combination resulting in a medicinal ointment?
I see my sisters on the beach there before me. They are calling to me.
It is
singing me.
The secretion of beach animals.
I have gathered bits of glass and shells and stored them in my nooks and crannies. and from them we will make the lotion.
So it is a lotion generated from your own excrement or secretions, because it is very often, I think, that is a metaphor that I can gain wisdom from, I believe, because often it is the case that one looks within oneself, either literally or not literally, and finds medicine, a cure for one's own disease there. So in your case, it is literal that you find within you the cure for your obvious disease.
Sometimes I dial the number of the newspaper and they demand something made of stone from me, and I tell them I have nothing but sand that slips through my finger, and they say, "We will not give you money." And I say, "But how can I find the spirit without money?"
Well, caller, what is sand but very tiny, tiny stones?
My God. Thank you. Thank you, now I know. I must go. I will tell them.
Good luck, caller.
Thank you.
On your spirit journey.
Aurora, I am amazed because I am myself made without speech by that call.
Yes, I too. It is very difficult to communicate that one is without speech.
But because at first it was the excrement lotion fire, and then later the glass secretion scraping, and then later the sand poop and all the bank or the...
Well, you must not attempt to make logical sense of what the caller was going through.
So my struggle is it's an internal one, and the simpler understanding is that there is no meaning.
You must allow the sounds to flow over you. The sounds that were coming from the caller were so beautiful and emotive. And if you did not consider the words as cohesive sentences or rigid thoughts that must be forced,
mm-hmm,
in a linear fashion, then you could see the beauty in what the caller was experiencing.
So the purpose then is to listen to the pitch of the whine of the dog and not listen to the words of the bark.
It is often a practice in some countries that I visited to take sounds in foreign languages that sound very appealing, but when you listen to the meaning, makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Japan, I purchased this gorgeous little bound notepad. Papillon. And it said, "They are a magnificent empty fairy." And the words sound so beautiful next to one another. And they do perhaps have a meaning if you do not allow yourself to take it so straight and strict and logically. They are a magnificent empty fairies.
The phrase was a magnificent empty fairies?
Yes.
I recently have concluded a journey with a number of spiritual students, and I was looking over as some of them were meditating, It was closing, reaching the end of my time with these students. It's very unnatural, because some students are immediately greater than their guide. They find the path more quickly than they could be guided there. But others require a great deal of guidance. It's a substantial thing. There's much patience and a great deal of time, more than what is available, is required to really get them to meditate properly. Mm-hmm. And for the ones who find it natural, immediately there is wisdom and logic and meaning behind every action. But there are others who are simply imitating the master, and so they see someone meditating successfully by wearing sandals, and they wear sandals.
You see, all of these attempts, yes.
Because they do not realize the logic behind the sandals.
And what is the logic behind the sandals?
There may be no logic. There may simply be comfort. There may be the simplicity of, or it may be that these sandals were made by the meditator and have a specific meaning.
Or perhaps the meditator simply has no other shoes.
Perhaps, or it is the color, or it may be a number of things, but to the person who is familiar with the meditation, the meaning behind it becomes clear, and the arbitrary faces directly the required thing. But to the uninitiated, or to the person who is blind or dull to these subtleties, it all seems random, and so they will randomly wear a sandal, or they will, in a moment where no footwear is required, they may wear a large heavy boot or two buckets, or they may ride in a large automobile.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the heavy boots. Today I was wandering through the Boston Commons wearing very heavy Doc Martens, and I thought to myself, I cannot run with the wind. I am weighed down physically by these lovely, lovely boots that are resistant to acid, but who add to me such great physical weight. And then I realized, but the physical weight is not important. It cannot weigh down my spirit. What I wear on my shoes is nothing. What I wear on my feet is also nothing. And so I believe many people hang on to slight physical changes which have no effect when they're first trying to slip into that state.
But it is symbolic, or it may be simply a reminder.
Exactly, but eventually, no matter what, you'll be able to go to that place. You will be able to reach it. It takes great strength and power of mind to pull yourself out of the physical realm and to allow you to drift into a place you've never been before without any guidance.
But many people that I have interacted with cannot ground themselves properly.
So they drift away.
They drift away. There is too much logic in their existence and too little existence.
Well, I've often found that many people try too hard to ground themselves, and that's when they get lost in the tumble of their minds.
No, I have rarely seen someone trying to grasp so hard at reality that they disconnect, but I see how it is possible. In my experience, the practitioner of this sort of logic gradually begins to realize that there are many things about their existence that they assume but are unable to guarantee.
If anybody would like to tell us what physical objects or memories they may use in order to allow themselves to drift off, or if you would like to talk about anything at all, please give us a call. Our number is 617-253-8810, and we have two lines open to widen our circle.
In particular, I would like to hear from people in the area that are wearing larger boots, because it is a warm day. Caller, marhaba.
Welcome to the air.
Hello.
Welcome, caller.
What?
Welcome, caller.
Welcome.
So, caller, what footwear are you donning today?
Well, your discussion of the spiritual spider has greatly intrigued me.
What in particular about the spiritual spider?
Have you ever been bitten or interacted with a spider? Caller? I think perhaps we have lost the caller. Perhaps he is being bitten by a spiritual spider.
And now, experiencing a spiritual crater.
You know, my
our thoughts are with you, caller.
My belief really is that many would wear boots in this season to avoid being bitten by a spider. Caller, is that you?
Yes.
Welcome. I hope that you are well, that you have survived.
Oh, sorry, I just fell in a hole. It was a very deep hole.
Well, so tell us, caller, about your footwear.
My footwear, I wear brown suede shoes that are rectangular and made of sheepskin.
Well, that sounds lovely. And where do you find rectangular shoes from? Or do you make them yourself?
I do not have the technology to make them myself, but I found them on Newberry Street.
And caller, why these shoes? Is there a significance to the choice, or is it the arbitrary? Is it of a choice simply made for you?
Well, when I was in the store, I saw them from across the room, and they were just so soft, and I could not resist.
And so you saw how they felt, and hence you purchased them.
Yes.
That is intriguing, because you see the mixture of the senses there, Aurora, that the caller saw the shoes, and by his sight he interpreted what the tactile response.
Such a lovely and useful form of synesthesia, which we all experience at one time or another.
So you regard it as a mixing of the senses?
Yes, well, I've heard once of this special technique of torture where they kept prisoners awake for 3 days straight and then allowed them to enter a room with fluffy feathers and pillows.
The war of the spirit.
And lovely things like that. And the prisoner would collapse immediately upon the pillows, only to realize that those things that looked so soft were actually razor sharp.
Yes.
And was your experience, caller, with the shoe, was it consistent with the expectation based on sight?
These shoes were delicious.
So you consumed the shoe? Or is it a metaphor? Because again, I realize delicious is simply a positive.
It is a metaphor, but I also tasted the shoe and it was delicious.
Did it taste like sheep color?
Color?
Yes.
So, and the flavor of the shoe.
How did the flavor sound, Color?
How did the flavor what?
Sound.
Sound?
Well, the Aurora is pointing out the one sense leads to the other.
The flavor sounded like delicious children playing on a spring summer day in the morning next to the flowers.
Such an evocative image.
And I sense, yes, a great deal of mirth and joy in your voice, Caller, when you are talking about the shoe. And that's something, yes, I really love. I love to hear that that you have such a great attachment to it. And has anyone ever tried to remove the shoe? Or do you find it difficult at night to remove them?
Well, sometimes I like to fall asleep with the shoe on because they're just so comfortable and multi-purpose. But there was once a time when I had fallen asleep in a park and a man tried to steal my shoes from me. I woke up and I took him out. I did what I had to do.
You took him out?
To a barbecue?
No, I didn't end his life. I just gave him a good beating. I showed him that those shoes were mine and for no one else.
So you speak of multi-purposes of the shoes. Did you use them in order to...
to accomplish this...
this beating?
Yes.
This retribution.
Yes.
And I think really the caller implies by the beating that there was punishment.
There had to be a punishment to show that these shoes... I worked hard for these shoes and they were for me and no one else.
Right.
See?
I mean, in my mind, you see, it is not straightforward. I knew a man once who, if you greeted him politely, he would beat you. And his logic was that he loved to be regarded as one who could withstand the insult. And his response was to, you see, it was a form of a compliment to be insulted in this way because it showed he had strength. So he would return the compliment with a greater compliment, which is a beating showing that you could withstand, you know, or the person who had given the insult could withstand a great beating and hence was physically strong.
Yes.
So, but in your case, it was retribution, it was vengeance on the insult against your personal space and your attachment to the shoe. And caller, when you do sleep not wearing the shoe, do you dream that you are wearing them and then awaken to find that they are still there?
Yes, I have many dreams of the shoes. And when I wake up, I put them on, and my dreams are true.
See, that's very interesting, caller. It shows a very strong spiritual attraction to the shoes, which may border on slight insanity.
And my fear there is that a little therapy might be required, because this is a great deal of attachment to the shoes. And I would have thought, and I would understand the attachment if the caller had fashioned the shoes out of an old pet that had passed away, but these are shoes that seem to be rooted in hedonism, the senses.
Well, let me say something.
Please, please, caller.
Like I said before, they were made out of sheepskin, which came all the way from the coast of Ireland, which is a deep and spiritual existence in my life.
You are.
I am Irish myself, and homeland.
And so there is a spiritual connection that you have with the shoes in particular, but it's ironic that it would be rooted there, because you know the word in that the Irish use for a large family is clan, and this is rooted in the word. It has a common ancestor with the word plant, and the original Proto-Indo-European word was plan, you know, or flan, and referring to the act of pushing something into the ground with one's foot. And so I see that there is a connection there that you are drawing.
Oh, very, very much so.
But a color in the same sense. You being Irish, you are so rooted to that spot, spiritually, with every drop of your blood, with every hair on your head.
Yeah, and so why is there not attachment more to, perhaps, an article of clothing other than the shoe?
Or your left foot, for example.
Or perhaps a flag, or a hat collar, or indeed a glass, or the earth itself.
Well, when I was on the coast of India, in the town of Kangshu, I purchased a shirt that was made, the spiritual man has told me it was made from the 1,000-year-old angel of hemoglobin.
Caller, I'm sorry, the engineer is asking again if you could please step away from the radio.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Thank you, caller. And so the shirt, is it a shirt that was made from the hemoglobin of angels?
That's what I could partly understand. His English wasn't very good, so I am not sure if that was the right word.
Human globin.
And so the you formed an attachment to this article of clothing.
I just feel that it is very powerful. I've worn it many days and months.
But you dream instead about your Irish lamb shoes and not about the angel shirt.
I feel a connection with both articles very much so, yes.
Well, it all sounds excellent, caller. And is there spirituality in that for you? Or, I mean, clearly both of them are meaningful for very different reasons, but have you had them blessed, or, you know, and how long ago was it that you acquired these things? And I don't mean in human years, but in spirit years. How many paths has your spirit journeyed on since you have acquired
them? Spiritually, I feel that it has been a part of me for an eternity. I feel that this shirt, these shoes, even my pants have been attached to me since I was born.
That's very interesting, caller.
Well, caller, do other family members feel attachment also to your clothing?
My other family members, they know about my attachment, but they don't really see eye to eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They feel it is too great an attachment, or is there fear there? Have you been able to form meaningful relationships outside of articles of clothing?
Well, sometimes my family members don't wear the clothing because they think that I should wash it sometimes and it gets too dirty. But they don't believe that shirts can be made of the hemoglobin of angels, and I think that is preposterous.
Well, I will have to side with your family on that point, because I'm not sure how fabric could be woven from hemoglobin.
Well, you see, this man told me that he extracted the hemoglobin himself, and what he did is he brushed it onto the thread and used that thread to make the shirt.
I see. So it was, you might say it was painted with angel hemoglobin.
Yes, it was painted on. It's the hemoglobin was a shining purple color texture, something like that.
I see. Excellent. So, and the color is uniform on the shirt and also the shoes.
What was that? Come again?
The color and the texture of the articles.
Do they match?
Are they uniform or is there a pattern?
Oh, no, they have. The shirt has an extremely difficult pattern to comprehend. It will blow your mind to look at such a pattern.
I'm trying to understand the spiritual implications of wearing angel blood.
Well, it's not literally the entire blood, but only the hemoglobin, the collar mentions.
And collar, do you know if the creature in question had a hemoglobin mutation such as sickle cell anemia?
I have no idea.
Because that would have incredible implications. Sickle cell anemia is due to a magnetic field which sort of distorts the hemoglobin into a sickle shape.
Yes.
And that magnetic field around you would have amazing implications in healing, magnetic healing. Have you thought of that? Do you seem to be more healthy when you wear this shirt?
Yes, the shirt regenerates my soul and spirit.
Now, the caller, of course, mentioned Aurora. You may remember that he has been attached to these articles since birth.
Yes, I must apologize. I was allowing the sounds to drift over my mind rather than the actual meanings.
But caller, I would like to hear more about the visions that you have had that incorporate these items. Could you share some of those with us?
Well, they are very deep and personal, but I feel that one I could share with the shoes, the sheepskin shoes.
Please do so.
I had a dream that I was riding on a most beautiful dragon through the wilderness. And I saw the sheep that made my shoes, that was made from my shoes. And it was beautiful.
I'm sorry, Connor. You dreamt that you were riding a dragon into a shoe store?
No, through the wilderness, in the forest.
Through the forest.
And were you riding, was the dragon flying or was it walking?
It was flying.
And it was a fire-breathing dragon, or...?
There was no fire involved. It was solely a flying dragon.
Because, obviously, then, it would not live in a forest.
And did the dragon have the same color as the shoes?
No. The dragon was yellow, and the shoes are not.
So I think, caller, what I'm gathering from this, in my dream interpretation, is that you may have a suppressed memory, which is you riding a school bus into a shopping mall and then buying a pair of shoes there.
Well, when I was young, I went on a field trip with my fourth grade.
No, caller, it would be a suppressed memory.
It would be something you cannot recall.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I do not know meaning sometimes, as you say. I just listen to the words and they flow over me like the lyrics of a song.
Mm. It's really incredible how much meaning is stored in the tone of one's voice.
What do you mean?
Well, I think Aurora could explain best, but my short explanation is that I might say to one, you are good, and you know that appears to be a statement, but I may say you are good, or
I feel the opposite. I feel I am a horrible person.
Or you are good?
I do not think so.
Or I might
or
say,
you are good.
Oh, like I said before, when I beat that man in the park, the regret still burns in my chest.
Well, I think a beating periodically may be justified.
and color. You cannot be at rest with your own soul if you hang on to these occurrences with feelings of regret or self-diminishment. You must meditate with yourself.
Should I,
and allow yourself,
suppress them? Should I?
Well, that's also not healthy because you are losing a part of who you are. But you must understand these experiences wholly and completely. And then be in touch with yourself, with your actions, and move forward with either a different mindset or a different set of actions that you will commit.
How do you suggest that I move forward with the different mindset? Do you suggest a medication?
Well, first of all, you must enter a different spiritual realm, and I suggest you draw a warm bath with lavender soap and perhaps some oatmeal and honey.
Should I burn incense?
No, I believe that too much clogging of the senses can stiffen your mind. But you must allow these sensations to go over your skin and allow them to go into your nose and allow yourself to listen to the rippling and splashing of the water as you move your hands and feet and allow yourself to drift away to the day in the park where you were lying on the bench. And see
I shall roll my boat through my tub like a little baby.
And see yourself not as yourself, but as a tree in the park or as the bench. And to allow yourself to see statically what occurred without the emotions of the time.
Mm. I once had an experience where I met a man in the park and he offered me some rock cocaine, and I smoked it with him, and it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Caller, it's really amazing how many amazing experiences you've had. First the shirt, and then the shoes, and then this rock.
And I was wearing the shoes at the time.
And is that common? Did you also wear the shoes at the time of the acquisition of the shirt?
The shoes come with me wherever I go. The shoes are on all of these occasions, pretty much.
Caller, are you wearing these shoes now? You are?
Yes.
Can you?
I am wearing these shoes now.
Can you remove the shoes, please?
What did you say?
Please remove the shoes.
I cannot remove the shoes.
So these shoes...
I cannot remove these shoes. I will never remove my shoes. Please do not ask me to remove my shoes again.
Caller, I am afraid that these shoes may have become your feet.
My shoes are connected to my feet. They have a spiritual connection.
No, I hear a lot of pain
there.
You
must understand.
And I think that the symbolism here, this message that you are screaming to us, is that you are an Irish lamb and you were sacrificed.
Well, actually what I hear in the caller's voice is an internal struggle. A part of the caller knows that the shoes are no longer good for him, that they are weighing him down in the physical realm more than he ought to be. And the other part of the caller cannot bear the thought of the shoes being removed, and that is the grunting and the pain that we hear in the caller's voice, is that internal struggle.
I cannot bear the pain because I had removed my shoes in the past, but each time my feet would just get hurt and cut on rocks and pieces of glass and everything.
Well, caller, birth is one of the most painful experiences, and it scars each one of us, but it must occur for our journey to begin.
I really think, caller, also that if you do not expose yourself to the world at selected moments, that you cannot fully experience life. Caller, I wonder if you have taken a mate.
You wonder if I have what?
If you have taken a mate, a wife.
I have not. I have taken mates in the past, but I do not have one at the moment.
I believe, caller, that this shoe attachment has come between you and these mates. Is that right? caller?
Yes.
Is it right? The mate has not been able to come any closer to you than your shoe.
My mate. Yeah.
Caller.
Oh, sorry, I fell back in that hole.
This is very interesting. I believe our caller may be suffering with multiple personalities because each instant he becomes struck with an inability to speak. His voice suddenly changes. Have you noticed, Dr. Jollis?
I have not, but your perception on the voice is more sensitive than my own. And let me briefly mention that anyone else that would like to call, we do have another line available, and we would love to take another voice to interact with the shoe man.
That would be great. I would love to talk to another customer.
We are not customers. We are merely fellow drifters in the river of our lives.
It is just an analogy I have for life, about all life in the world is a shop, and everyone that comes and enters into my world is a customer.
It is a touching analogy, caller. And I believe we do have another caller here with us now. Caller, welcome. Marhaban.
Hello?
Yes, caller, welcome.
I also have a dream.
Oh, caller, please, the radio.
This is
caller.
Hello, yes. Customer?
Caller.
I have these shoes today.
Are you with us, caller?
You have lovely shoes, caller.
I am still here.
And caller three, the shoes that you are wearing.
Yes.
Are they also Irish suede from lamb?
Made of lamb from Ireland.
Also?
Yes.
And caller, do you also have a spiritual connection with Ireland, the land and the people and the song and the food? Or is it simply a choice in footwear?
I believe this man is making fun of me.
No. Yellow dragon.
This has happened to me before.
No, caller, this
I
is...
I tried to explain
no,
to one
caller.
Man about the connection I had, and he made fun of me.
Caller, stay with us, caller. I sense no hostility in the second caller's voice. I sense only joy in hearing that there is one who struggles as he struggles.
Yeah, caller, in this place, there is no making fun. There is only seriousness and acceptance.
Okay, caller one. Why do you not believe me?
I would like to know what shoes you really are wearing. Please be honest and true.
These shoes are part of Ireland, made from the lamb of the land. They are attached to my soul and body. Without them, I am nothing.
Now, caller, this begs the following question, which is, you mentioned the lamb of the land, and I wonder if there is also a lamb of the sea.
I believe that is a dolphin.
The dolphin is the sea lamb.
No, the manatee.
The manatee.
The manatee is
the sea cow.
Sea cow.
Oh.
And the tuna is the sea chicken.
And the seahorse is
the
seahorse.
Oh. Caller three, are you still there?
Yes. I am here.
Tell me, what part of Ireland did you get your shoes?
In a small village miles from Dublin.
Ireland is very big, despite its size on the globe. Could you be more specific?
North of Dublin, a small village, population roughly 300 people.
Now, caller one, I think that we should respect the third caller's hesitation in providing details because it is a public forum and...
I am sorry. I will act less harmful with my words and try to be open to every connection caller three tries to make to me.
I appreciate this removing of the shoes, caller, which is what
the
I'm
removing of my
for.
Shoes.
Yeah, this is a symbolic removal of spiritual shoes. There is no more throwing up in with distrust, but merely an acceptance.
I thought I told you never to tell me to remove my shoes.
He is referring to a spiritual removal.
I can't do that.
The shoes are one of us. They cannot be removed while me still being.
I understand. I suppose the analogy would be similar to a person removing one's skin.
You cannot take a heart from the man, and the man still lives.
Yes.
And caller three, also, do you have visions and dreams of the shoes?
Of shoes?
Of these shoes in particular.
Yes, these shoes take my adventures to wild, exciting places I've never been or seen.
Well, how do you know you've never seen these places if you've never seen them?
Because I do not recognize them. They're only in my dreams. Mm-hmm. I have no real memory.
It has happened in my own dreams and visions that I will encounter a place and consider it in the vision familiar, but the vividness is great enough and the vision durable that afterward I will be able even to fully describe the place and realize then at that moment that it is unknown to me. Is this the same with you, caller, or do you have unfamiliarity even in the dream?
Hello. Yes, I need my sister, my spiritual sister needs to, wants to talk onto the line. I can feel her coming through in my spirit.
Well, permit her, please, caller, but also realize that we are just reaching the end of the hour, so please be quick.
Reaching the end of the hour?
Yes, caller.
I don't know. I'm the... Hello! Hello!
I believe the caller has reached a state of mild hysteria.
I think maybe the...
I
think the shoes may at last have...
The shoes?
...come off.
I've removed my shoes!
Well, caller, unfortunately...
I removed my shoes! The shoes! They're off!
Well, caller, unfortunately, we have, in fact, reached the end of our hour, but thank you once again for joining us.
No, no, I'm gonna die! Come back!
As always, a very entertaining hour with very many interesting calls, and sorry to the many that we could not get to with our limited time.
And enlightening as well.
Well, Aurora, thank you so much for joining me and tolerating my meandering once again.
Well, thank you for allowing me to widen the circle. And namaste to all.
I am Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human in WMBR Cambridge. We are on every week at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for what's next. Masrana. Thank you.
for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.